Blog Talk Radio.
Shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports Index.
And if I may say that these sports In-depth Nation is here. The Sports In-depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good Doc.
Intros. By two incomparable gentlemen, and with the compliments heaped upon me, humbling and validating that great line by my voice, the respect of honorable, incredible people. It's a Sunday, and I'm going to see. Let me see if I can find that prayer that Marion and use that as our opening prayer today. I think I'm going to mess up. I don't think I'm going to be able to find it. One day at a time, Lord, just one day at a time. Marion said that to me, and it was so apropos for Easter. Excuse me, Resurrection Sunday. And I think he sent it to me sometime long, but Marion is a quintessential Renaissance man, as far as I'm concerned. And, okay. I put that back at the AOL side. Maybe we can sneak in there for a minute, and maybe get a hold of that. Let's see. I just thought it'd be so apropos to have as part of our opening prayer. You know, we always open up with a prayer here on Sports and Depth. A lot of things happening. Tiger Woods playing well. Not going to win the Masters, but semblance of the Tiger that we once knew. Nets, last week this time, were in the playoff hunt. They're still there. Lost a big game today that definitely has to hurt. Rangers, most wins ever in their history, and they won the President's Cup, which means they will get home ice, which is basically home court advantage in every series that they'll play. And they're looking to go right back to the Stanley Cup Finals. They lost last year to the
Philly teams?
Yeah.
And what we're going to do before we go into prayer, we're going to read what the Mary said. I mean, in fact, we're going to use it as our opening prayer. That is that great one you sent to me. One day at a time. And with that, let that be open. You know what? We got to go back to our files. I'm going to have that for you next week. One day at a time, Lord, one day at a time. Right. I'm going through, I went to the studio here, I'm looking, and I thought I had that file. It seems that I don't have that file. So we'll have to go back into the file and see what's there. Okay. Cool the Gang. I think that's the greatest piece of music they ever did. And one of the greatest pieces of music ever done by anyone in the history of music. Cool the Gang. That it's prayer time. Now, before we get into prayer, I'm going to play a little something that I've always really liked musically. And I just got it last week. And okay, hold tight. Don't anybody move. No, I said I'm going to do. We're going to do. We're going to open up the national anthem and then move into prayer after Marvin.
Now, along with the United States Marine Color Guard, to sing the national anthem, famed recording artist Marvin Gaye.
Oh,
Marvin Gaye's rendition of the national anthem, and I don't think anybody does it better. The 1983 All-Star Game, Marvin, unbeknownst to a lot of people, and acknowledged by Marvin, was seriously considering joining the NFL. He had trained to play in the NFL. And Mike Smith, head coach of the Detroit Lions, at the last minute decided that Marvin Gaye, as a football player, would not have the effect and display of his gifts as a singer. I've got a great shot on file, and it's Marvin going to the hoop against Jesse Jackson. But right now, we're going to go to prayer. It's time to... stop talking. Stop walking. Or keep walking. Take your hats off, bow your heads. It's time to pay homage to the one and the only true God. It's here, Sports in Depth. It's prayer time. As we acknowledge our Lord and Savior and our Maker. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. And more importantly, have your will, have your way. We thank you, Lord, for little things we so largely take for granted. And keep us so, Lord, that we do not take your blessings, your goodness and mercy for granted. Mercy is getting, not getting what you do deserve, grace is getting what you don't deserve. We thank you, Lord, for last night's lying down, this morning getting up. As my mother said, woke up clothed. All right, Mom. Even though this prayer will stop, our praise will never cease. Even though we may get up off our knees, we will not stop acknowledging the boundary. Even though we will stop verbally, but in our hearts and our souls, praise and honor to you, your God and Jesus. Dear Lord, we just take the simple time to say thank you. But the lady once said, your God, all by yourself. We ask these blessings, all the blessings, in the name of your Son, Jesus. A lot of people ask me about the theme. We're eventually going to get a hold of John Coltrane's Love Supreme in 1964, his dedication to God's entire album, and simply stating God's love is supreme. And Miles Davis on this right here, Kind of Blue, considered the greatest piece of jazz collaboration put together, the greatest jazz album of all time. John Coltrane on the tenor sax, Cannonball Adderley on the alto sax, Paul Chambers on the bass, Philly Joe Jones on the drums, Fred Garland on the piano, Miles Louis Davis as well. With that, we will talk basketball. We'll talk baseball. We'll talk football. Hoping to get 38 to join. We'll talk some fights last night in Barclays Center. Danny Garcia with a close decision. I got the scores on that, Jenna. Pull those scores up for you. Kid Chocolate, pretty profound that he would go into that fight. Therefore, the Andy Lee, Kid Chocolate fight, as Andy Lee was in a great position, he couldn't lose. Couldn't lose his title. And all they could do was lose the fight. Didn't lose that. Well, we'll talk about that here on Sports and Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports in Depth nation is here. The sports in-depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Sammy. Take it away, good Doc.
No more has to be said. And we always will remember Mel Cosell Smith Jr. Little Coco, the man who coined the phrase Sports and Death Nation. And it's been a year now since his passing. And he'll always linger deep in our hearts and our memories. And we thank God for the times and the memories.
You're right.
And with that, it's time to get with the crew. The Hoops is here. Jump Shot Jonesy is here. Sister Julia has joined the crew. Sports and Depth, Long Time Radio. Trust in God Network. You know, Jump Shot and Hoopsa, you know, we know last week we did a special going to the Hoops. The Hoopsters. Jump Shot was practicing someplace else. And I saw a young man in the barbershop, Panama's barbershop, Andre's barbershop. In fact, this half hour is brought to you by Andre's barbershop in the Bronx. And we both concurred. And you did too, Hoopster. And I think we may have Jump Shot. I think, without question, the MVP in the NBA is Russell Westbrook. Hoopster?
He's one of my choices.
And even,
but I still pick Harden.
Mm-hmm.
I got two more cats.
I'm telling you, I'm telling about you backing me, and now you know you can lose
five seconds.
What are you doing
here? Yeah. Huh? Well, hey, this is a show. You gotta come with honesty. So he's one of my.
I agree with you. Last week you was down with me with the move with Westbrook,
yes,
and now you took a week off and you with Hardy. What's going on here, Hoops?
Hey Hardy, hey, you got two more candidates. You got Curry, and now you got this guy now, the candidate now Davis, Anthony Davis for the Pelicans.
Well, listen, you know what? I tell you, a lot of people can be a candidate, but Jump Shot on my money. The guy that's the MVP in this league is Russell Westbrook. And for no other reason, among the many reasons that I have, he's doing crazy triple-double numbers. I mean, you can't gripe about a guy that's got 40
double
points.
Yeah, I agree.
And, yet, and he's passing off for 20 and grab you double-figure rebounds? I mean, I've said this, Jump Shot. Curry's team, Harden's team, no question about it, with the rest of them on the floor, they are better teams. But they're good enough teams that they would be successful without them. This KC team would be nowhere without Russell Westbrook, especially in lieu of the fact that Kevin Durant is not there. Jump Shot? Jump Shot. Come on now, talk to me, baby.
Well, again, good evening, folks. Happy Sunday. And, Doc, you're my people. And my brother from another mother, but I gotta go with James Harden. James Harden.
What happened here now? The backcourt here, the Rolls Royce backcourt, the Sports in Depth that got together. I'm wondering why I ain't getting the ball, and I see what's happening. They're going right to the hoop.
We better call it. Gotta call a timeout and regroup. Gotta call a timeout. I want the ball. Do like Doc did. Call a timeout. I want the ball.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what I love about Sports in Depth. I've said this, you know, throw a line to somebody. And if these people who make this show, you know, and you hear things here that you're not going to hear anyplace, this is not about favoritism. Hey, they say, hey, look, Doc, this is our guy. This is our guy. And you know what I mean? And this is what it is. And I've said, at one time I thought that these people here were the best. I was prejudiced about that. But time has shown that they're the absolute best. I want to say real quickly hello to Julio, who you're jumping in here, the big Yankee fan. And, you know, I was listening to that show with
Skip Bayless and Stephen A. And they both, you know, Stephen A. and Bayless both concurred because they were picking the top 10 athletes of the last 20 years. Yeah. And they both said, you know what, Barry Bonds has been in the top five. And the line that I like that Skip Bayless shot was in a game, he said, where pitchers dominated, Barry Bonds dominated the pitchers. And
yeah,
that was just
no doubt.
Tremendous testimony to the great ability of Barry Bonds. And you've met Barry, had some ties with Barry,
yeah.
Regards to you from Marquise Grissom. But it was a tremendous statement, and he said, you know, in a game that was dominated by pitchers, Barry Bonds dominated the pitchers.
Oh, I was scared to pitch to
him.
No, throw him the walks in 1 year. I mean, the guy had 200 walks in 1 year, 101 intentional walks. Were you able to get a hold of AJ?
Who you say, Doc?
No, we got who was joining us? He must still be busy. One of the top comedians.
When it comes to Barry Bonds,
yeah,
I've seen Barry Bonds intentionally walk with no guys on base. That's how much of a threat he was.
Well, I saw Barry Bonds walk with bases loaded.
Yeah, and you know who? The point you made, my man Buck Showalter walked Barry. It was a 4-2 game. Barry came to the plate. Buck walked Barry. Okay, the run came in. The next guy made out. They won the game. The next day, Barry Bonds' first time up, he had a home run. Buck Showalter simply said, "Gentlemen, I rest my case." Joe Morgan said he never seen anybody get the kind of respect that Barry Bonds got at the plate. And, you know, Barry is the oldest man ever to win a batting championship, the most home runs in one season, the most home runs in a career. Baseball assured that Barry didn't get 3,000 base hits. And, like, I thought, too, you know, Julio, the other day, I was thinking how baseball was going to make sure that Ricky Henderson didn't get 3,000 base hits. Ricky Henderson had one game left, possibly the last game of his career, and nobody was saying, let him play. Now, Ricky was going to just lay back, and he felt that he was sort of basking in the ray and aura of Tony Gwynn. I said, "Hey, man, no, man, you can do your thing." And Ricky got his 3,000th base hit. And basically, it was just befuddling, as Marion B. Borkin said, "B, that stands for Black, Bodacious, Brilliant, and Brother." Mm-hmm. You know, it's remarkable to me how nobody wanted Barry Bonds. At first, it was remarkable to me that the Giants discarded Barry Bonds. This guy won 7 MVPs. He won 5 MVPs with the Giants alone. 5 MVPs, and somehow the Giants didn't want Barry Bonds anymore. And then somehow nobody in the National League, Eddie Murray told me, and everybody knows when I say Eddie on this show, I'm talking about Eddie Murray. When I say Jewish, I'm talking about Jewish Dr. Eddie told me that Barry, he said, that ballpark down where the Tampa Bay Rays, he said, that park is tailor-made for Barry. And if Tampa Bay had took Barry and he'd been on that roster when they went into the World Series, they would have won the World Series. But we have to be enlightened and always educated to the fact that America wants to win with a certain type of play. Yes, they want to win with white players.
Well,
and
of course.
They'd rather not win the World Series, okay, without Barry, then win the World Series with Barry.
With Barry.
I remember Julius Erving talked about in Philadelphia, they didn't want 30 points apiece from him and McGinnis up front winning games. They wanted 20 points from George, 20 points from Julius, and 20 points from Doug Collins. And we can never lose sight of the fact that, sad and touching as it may be, America is always about black and white. I talked to a guy the other day at the press conference for those fights at the Barclays Center. He was talking about how he was when Ali didn't go into the war and how he disliked him. And I'm like, who are you telling me? I mean, and he was in the Navy. I understand. The Navy was the last military department to take in blacks and Hispanics. And when you went into the Navy in the original inception of their accepting minorities, you had to be either a cook or valet. You couldn't go on the battle line. It's rumored that at Pearl Harbor there was something spotted by an African-American sailor to warn them, and they dismissed it. But when you went into the Navy, you had to be either a cook or a valet. And it's remarkable to me, using minds choice of words that really not we understand, how these guys can have this dislike for Ali. Muscles told us here on this show that they had made a deal with Ali. And Ali wasn't, you know, Ali knew he wasn't going to go on the front lines. Ali knew he wasn't going to see any battle, you know. But they you looked at the situation, Ali was at first classified unfit for the military, which was sort of, I think, a slap in the face. How could the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world not be physically fit? If you want to exempt him, exempt him.
I don't use Lord,
you're calling him
gay people.
Huh?
Well, you know, the like, Doc. Can you hear me, Doc? Am I on?
Yeah, you got to talk a little louder, Julio. You'll be getting it over here. Give them more volume.
Look. Another thing about Barry Bonds, even though he got a big head, he don't like me. I understand that. But he is the greatest ball player I ever seen. Big Head Barry was the only man in baseball that got better as he got older. I never seen a ball player like that in my life, ever, ever. Not to this day. To this day, Barry Bonds got better as he got older. And that guy, I would never pitch to him. I would hit him with the ball. I would never. You ain't hit me, man. Barry, you're not hit me. I'm going to hit you with the ball.
You tell such a great story. Intro into the and at the Hall of Fame where Greg Maddux was inducted into the Hall of Fame. Marquis Griscom was there, and Marquis, whose number I was, who wish you would call him, we were talking, and he said, Greg Maddux, so there was two guys he couldn't get out, Barry Bonds and Tony Gwynn. And he said he used to tell Marquis, listen, I'm going to throw Barry this outside fastball. He's going to hit to the warning track, so get ready for it. And he said, he'd look around and point to center field and tell Marquis, okay, let's move over to the left center. He said, I'm going to throw him this outside fastball, let him hit it to the warning track and catch it. He said, but Barry Bonds, Greg Maddux once said that Barry Bonds came to the plate on base. It was like 200 walks in 1 year. I mean, and imagine if they had counted those walks as hits. And one time they did in Major League Baseball history. Now imagine 100 walks at hits. That's 100 more hits. 200? And Barry, the year that he won the MVP with that, he said, he didn't think anybody that got to walk 200 times should be the MVP. His dad, Bobby Bonds, trained him. Bobby is the man who's had the most 30-30 season in baseball history. Barry is the first ever African-American's godfather with it, Willie Mays, would have did it. But Barry was the first African-American and the first player in national history to do 40-40 when he hit 42 home runs and stole 40 bases. And if there was no Willie Mays, Barry Bonds would be the greatest player in my estimation. When I put outfield together, the greatest outfield of all time for me, left field, Hank Aaron, center field, Willie Mays, right field committee. I have no problem putting Barry Bonds in left field over Hank Aaron, especially in the game of DH that they all can play on the team. Sponsored that Blog Talk Radio from the Trust and Guard Radio Network.
Hey, I'm Doc. I got to say something. Can I say something, Doc?
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, we want to I know Jump Shot probably agreeing. We want to congratulate Jason Kidd for his Milwaukee Bucks are making the playoffs for the first time in a long time, so we want to congratulate him. And also, I picked him as my coach of the year.
The other day, in one of the local papers, they said how nobody is patting him on the back, the great job he's done. And, it's amazing that you hear it here first in Sports Today. The Milwaukee Bucks are in the playoffs, who just beat the Nets today, okay?
They're in the playoffs already.
Sports is this business where when a player does what's best for him, he's ungrateful, he's disrespecting the game, he's showing no loyalty or gratitude. But when the owners do it to you, it's the business. this is the way things are. Hey, you know how it is, but it's amazing. And that was a big thing about Hollywood. Hollywood took us. Hollywood said, hey, look, you know what I mean? I'm not going in that war. Yeah, people going to Canada. He said, these are my religious beliefs. Okay, whatever the consequences are. And, hey, that's what he stood on. And Ali understood he wasn't going to be in the front line. Ali's thing, among the many things that were the concoction of his ingredients for going, one was Ali said, hey, now, if I go into that war, now I got my Latin brother Julio up in the Bronx going. I got my man Doc going in Brooklyn going into the war. I got some people over in Mississippi. I got some people in California. I got my black, Jewish, everybody's, because, hey, if Ali did it, I want to do it. I'm not doing it. I'm, you know, because I, by doing that, I'm not going to suffer the consequences. You know, my fans. And it was a belief. I mean, that's, you know, this was his religious beliefs. And that stand showed so much of him as a man. And that stand took him to heights unparalleled. Coupled with his Muslim religion, black Muslim at the time, and Ali, like Malcolm X, became Muslim. As we understand, the black Muslim movement was not totally part of the overall Muslim movement. But greatest athlete of all time, of this generation, and I was at the fights last night, and there was a couple of guys, I remember one time, to go to the press conference, and to go to some fights, and they'd be like, hey, not right now. But I said, well, you know, I said to myself, if Muhammad Ali has time for autographs, if Muhammad Ali has time for interviews, if Muhammad Ali has time for photos, then everybody else has time for them. Ali,
who was there last night, Doc?
Number one. The only two guys that you could utter in the same breath were Ali, Jackie Robinson, Jim Brown. Okay? Everybody, I mean, if Ali can do it, everybody else can do it. I told the story of, and by the grace of God, it was all great and wonderful things coming about, and being in Ali's company in a couple of occasions. And one, we were at some place, and he was signing autographs, and the guy said, hey, well, why don't you get a stamp and, you know, stamp autograph? Ali said, would you want a stamp autograph? And we were out at another fair, and there was a line there. And the security came and said, okay, Chan, we'll take you back to your room. Ali said, hey, I'm not leaving till everybody gets your autograph. And now I'm telling you one that, by the grace of God, happened to me personally. Ali was the first ever winner of the Potemkin Award, and in the Sports and Depth, Trust in God, Entertainment Artifacts Hall of Fame, we have that program autographed by Ali, Howard Cosell, Floyd Patterson, Leroy Neiman. I threw about maybe 6-7 pieces of memorabilia and artifacts in a bag. And Ali was sitting at the podium and went over to Champ. Could you sign a couple of things for me? He said, yeah. So he signed like 3 or 4. And I said, hey, Champ, thanks a lot. And I never forget it. Ali looked at me and looked at the bag. He said, what's in the bag? You know, I said, Champ, I said, a whole bunch of stuff. I said, you guys, I said, hey, give me everything. Okay? What's in the bag? Give me everything. That's what Ali said. And I remember dating a young lady at the time and took a photo of hers to have an autograph. And I said, Champ, would you autograph this picture from a lady? And he looked at the picture, looked at me. He said, hey, man, she's a fox. He said, what are you doing with a fox? The greatest of all time, man, Muhammad Ali. And he always had time for his people. I remember at the Ali Frazier fight, too, and I asked him a question. And he looked at me and said, are you through, bro? I said, yeah, you too? So, okay. And he said, hey, let me answer my black and Hispanic brothers, and I'll get to your other guys. Now, I never looked down on the people that looked up to me. That's Ali, one of the many quotations. I never looked down on the people that looked up to me. Service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth. Time is so short, death is so near to do friendly acts of persuasion. Unquestionable.
As I got to say, Muhammad Ali, the greatest athlete ever in the face of the earth.
And Doc, he also kicked Pacquiao to beat Mayweather.
Huh?
All right, well, listen. Well, I mean, listen. I've said this. Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust and Guard Network. I've said this. There are only three guys, and maybe four now, but there are only three guys, in my estimation, who are unbeatable. And the first guy is Ali. And like Marion Perkins said, Marion B. Perkins, Black Quotation, you Ali and Trilogies. And the first time, the guy that they stripped, unbeatable. Nobody beat him. Okay? Number two, Pride of Panama. Ronald DePedro, my man Cholo, ran at 135. 72-1 into that ring when he fought Sugar Ray. 72-1. And then there's the two Sugars, Walker Smith Jr. For those of you who don't know the street signs, Sugar Ray Robinson. Sugar Ray Robinson retired the first time. He was 132-2. 132-2. Okay? And if you combine their records, now, you take the Rands 72-1, okay, and then you add it to Ray's, who 132, so that's 204 wins to 3 losses, and whatever Ali had with no more losses. And I tell you, another guy who, on his A game, and I saw him last night, briefly got a chance to talk to him, Ray Charles Leonard. Sugar Ray Leonard beat every great fighter of his generation.
Yep.
Okay? Mm-hmm. He beat great fighter. And Ali, the amazing thing about Ali is, man, so you do him in trilogy, the second Ali, who wasn't the best of the Alis, because the first one was, he still beat 2 out of 3 times Joe Frazier and 2 out of 3 times Kenny North. Fights that would have never had a second coming had he been at his apex. And still, the second Ali knocked out George Foreman. And Leroy Neiman told me a tremendous story. And it was after the second Ali Norton fight out in Vegas. Ali's in the dressing room. He has his hand in an ice bucket soaking his hands. Ali, like Mayweather and Tommy Hearns, Hearns has hand problems. Three guys who have done remarkable hand problems. And he said George Foreman came into the room. And because fighters always go to other fighters' fights. And everybody went to Ali's fights. And he said he stood over Ali. As he stood over Ali, Ali looked up to him and told him, said, "Don't ever fight me because I'll knock you out." And what a prediction that turned out to be. Leroy Neiman told me, my dear departed friend Leroy Neiman, greatest artist of all time, sports artist unquestionably, and he said, Ali looked up, as George said, he said, "Don't ever fight me or I'll knock you out." And we know what happened in the Rumble in the Jungle. Ray Leonard, he beat, and I said he graduated as valedictorian of high school when he beat Rafael Benitez. He got his master's degree when he turned around and beat Roberto Duran. Okay? He got his doctor's degree when he came around and beat Tommy Hearns. And then he validated everything and get another PhD when he made Marvin Hagler retire from the game. Do you understand what he did? Ray Leonard made Marvin Hagler retire.
And still don't speak to him to this day.
Hagler walked away from the game.
Huh? Also, I was watching with the sport. He was on First Take, and Rage was trying to call Hagler. Never return his calls.
And I'm going to tell you something. And I remember what you're saying, Hoopster, because there was a dinner. It was a luncheon. WBC had a luncheon. And it's the first time I had saw Chavez in person. Chavez, Ray Leonard, and Mike Tyson were all being honored. And there was another foreign fighter, Korean fighter. And it was the first time Tyson and Robin Givens were together publicly, especially at a boxing function anyway. The first time I saw him. And I remember a writer walking with Ray as he got his coat, because I went to say goodbye to Ray. And he was putting his coat on. He had to leave. And the writer said, "Well, what about, you and Marvin getting together again?" And I'll never forget what Ray Charles Leonard said. He named after the singer Ray Charles, which ironically, Ray Charles' name was Ray Robinson. And Sugar Ray Robinson's real name was Walker Smith Jr. And I always thought it was iconic. We talked about that one time, that Ray Leonard would ask Sugar Ray Robinson was all right to use the prefix of Sugar when he was named after the guy who was really named was Ray Robinson. And I never forget what Ray Leonard said. Ray Leonard told the writer, I never forget this, he said, "All he has to do is call. All he has to do is call."
Call.
And I asked Mark Tappet, who's head of the pay-per-view at HBO, and I asked him one time, what kind of money, what kind of figures what Muhammad Ali produced today. And he told me, he said, it's unbelievable. I remember I asked him that question, and about 2 months later, he said, I'm still thinking. And imagine the kind of money, too. Because in this sport, there's only four guys that I can think of who you said they're fighting. And you never asked who they were fighting. Hey, Ray Leonard's fighting. What? Oh, wow. Then you know you're going to see the fight. Now, he's, well, who's he fighting? Doesn't matter. Tyson, Ali, and Durant. Four guys. Hey, Durant's fighting. Where, when, where? Ray Leonard's fighting. Yeah, when, where, who? But you weren't concerned about who they were fighting. It was the event. De La Hoya is probably the fifth on that list. He's the number one. Well, maybe Mayweather makes him playing him that somewhat. But no,
yeah,
overall pay-per-view, he wasn't.
Yo, Doc, how about your boy, the late Hector Macho Camacho?
Well, Camacho didn't have that appeal in the sense of I mean, look at Marvin Hagler. Same thing. Hagler, Tommy Hearns, they were guys you wanted to see them fight. But you would say, well, who are they fighting? You know? Now, Camacho, who you bring up a tremendous point, I tell everybody this. Hector Camacho has on his resume what no other fight history of boxing has. Hector Camacho
What's
beat
that?
Roberto Duran and Ray Leonard. Hector Camacho beat Roberto Duran and Ray Leonard. Okay? Tiger didn't beat Ray. Tommy didn't beat Ray. Benitez didn't beat Ray. Only Duran beat Ray. And Ray still beat Duran 2 out of 3 times. Nobody can say that they beat both Ray Leonard, okay, and Roberto Duran. And understand, they were both past their prime. But I've said this.
Yep.
And have me and Howard Weston talk about this, too. Hey, Duran, Camacho, man, that's a hell of a fight if they're both 21 years old at lightweight. That's a hell of a fight.
What a fight.
And Duran,
yeah.
Ray Leonard at 147. Listen, Camacho was the, after Ray Leonard left, Camacho was the man. How much more was he man? Hey, Don King brought him a Maserati. Brought the Maserati. Okay. Camacho went to pick the Maserati up, and due to the speed and his inability to master the car swiftly, he sold the car. One block.
Yeah.
Kyle sold the car. Called Don King. Don said, go back and get another one. Go back, get another
one.
Camacho would beat with ease, Mayweather and Pacquiao. Somebody said quite possibly in the same night. That's how bad Hector Camacho was. Hector was a great, great fighter.
But you also said Hector Camacho was probably the only fighter that we've seen that never got knocked out by any other great fighter.
You know what? You got a point there. You know what? I don't think Hector Camacho ever got knocked down.
No.
I don't know. But you're right.
No.
I don't remember him.
I mean, Howard Weston told the story how he tried to make the Julio Cesar Chavez Vez fight and Camacho fight. But Duke Drayden, the head boxing man at DK, told him, keep that Puerto Rican away from my Mexican until they slow down. Well, now, the greatest Camacho has validated that he did fight Chavez, Trinidad, and De La Hoya. But he fought them when he was way past his prime. He was done. He was old, drug-infused, and still, Camacho
they couldn't knock him out. They couldn't knock him out.
Right.
They couldn't
with
knock
the distance with all of them. And I am... Blessed I am by everything of every I love my life by God. In my trust in God, Sports and Entertainment Hall of Fame Museum, we got a pair of Hector Camacho's trunks, pair of his wraps. And he got a picture of me and him in that Maserati, too. It was the night that Lightning Lonnie Smith knocked out Billy Costello to win the title.
Mm-hmm.
The party uptown. Hector, so you going up to the party? Get in the car. Soon. Got that picture. Hector was one of my guys that I was a product that grew up. I saw him grow. I covered him in the early stages of his career. Him, Tyrell Weston Jr., two guys that I saw come up. And Davey Moore was another guy that was part of that whole New York stable continuously, Mark McDowell, Freeland. But Hector and Harold were two guys that I caught at the inception of their careers. I mean, Hector talked so much about how the martial arts had a tremendous influence on his boxing career. His son was a good little fighter, but there are some cases where the son can never be as good as the dad, and that was the case with Hector and his son, and the same thing with Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. will never be as great as his father. And Hector Camacho was just a tremendous, tremendous fighter. Sad and touching. I think now we're going into second year. This near Thanksgiving will be of his demise. It was supposedly an accident, but, you know, accidents that cause death, they can't be done over. But when you talk about a great fighter, I mean, Ray Leonard acknowledged that Hector was the guy that the torch was passed on to. Flashy, a macho man, just a tremendous, a great fighter, one of the greatest fighters I ever saw. And you're right, Julio, just special.
John, remember that time when we went to the Hall of Fame and you saw Buck O'Neill? And he says, yo, Buck, you give me your autograph? And I looked around. I looked everywhere like, wow, you ain't supposed to get autographs. He goes, I'll give you autographs.
Nancy Buck O'Neill. Yo, Buck, I remember the first time, I think about the first time I saw Mr. O'Neill. And he looked at me and said, boy, you still working? You know, Buck O'Neill, tremendous point. Buck O'Neill talked about, he said, you know what? People talk so much how they want the players of that era, the black players want born at the right time. He said, and I have it, in fact, and I'm looking at it now in my Trust in God library. And we were blessed last night to have another edition. I have a section of autographed books. So Jump Shot, you just got to get up here too with Julio. And I love how Rooney knew everything about my place, coming here just once. And I have a section of autographed books, but they're autographed by the authors. Last night, due to my dear friend Arthur McCanny Jr., son of the greatest referee of all time, one of them, and he said, hey, man, you know Ray? Let's go and say hi to Ray. Took me over. Ray autographed his autobiography, as well as a glove given to me by Jim Fester. So add that to my collection. And we talked about
Doc, Layla wasn't there last night, huh?
Who? No, Layla didn't show. But Buck O'Neill said something.
Oh, I know she'd have been glad to see you. She would have saw you.
Oh, she's just like her dad. She's just like her dad. I can't think of the name, man, biblically, but you're always, you know, Oopsie, man, you're always uplifting and giving an assist, man. And it's part of what we love so much about you is what you bring to this show, man, your class, your character, but you're always, and I read a story too where a guy was talking about meeting Ali and they became friends. He said, Ali, always, you know, looked out for others first. Dr. King, life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? And me and Hoopsa Benson, I mean, I remember, hey, who? I took Hoopsa out to the Giant game, man. And Sean Justin told me, what are you doing? Tell us, Hoopsa.
We was watching the batting cage with the guys hitting. Next thing you know, Sean threw a glove at me. Doc said, hey, wait a minute. Sean just threw a glove at us. I said, I know. What? I said, we went to school together. What? Thomas Jefferson High School. Are you serious, Hoopster? Are you? What? I said, he didn't throw the glove at me. He didn't know me.
Sean Dunston was the number one overall baseball in the baseball draft. And it is said that Sean Dunston had the greatest throwing arm in the history of the show.
Yeah.
I remember Mark Grace was Mark Grace was a big boxing guy. I gave him a great pitcher, too, that Ali had gave me. He was great for me. He gave me the first guy to give me a glove. He said he was putting his stuff together. He said, do you want a glove? He handed me the glove. He said, Sean didn't fuck this glove all up. I mean, they said Sean Dunston had the greatest throwing arm of any shortstop in the history of the game of baseball, and he was the pride and product of Brooklyn and Jefferson High School, number one draft. That's all you have to know. African-American in Brooklyn, Thomas Jefferson, the number one player in the baseball
also
draft.
Also got a championship ring, too, with the Giants. He also got a championship ring, too, with the Giants. So,
Sean was a tremendous guy, tremendous player. Loved him. So many times I always see him. Remember he started with the Cubs, and him, some infield too. You know, you look at that infield. He was at shortstop, Steinberg at second, Mark Grace at first. The guy I remember so much over the, who passed away a couple of years ago and got a chance to meet him a couple of occasions, Ron Santo. Ron Santo
Ron
was
Santo.
Hey,
also, me and Sean used to go out there in the hallway sell cookies for uniforms.
Who was that?
Me and Sean Dunster had to sell cookies for uniforms.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
In the hallway. Yeah. That's right. That's how I made our money for our uniforms. We had to sell them cookies. Mr. Chips. Yep.
Ron
Sports and Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Garvin. We're going to take a little musical break, and then we'll be back to talk about the fights last night, looking for Mr. Neville 401 to join us. If not, we still got the Hoopster, Jump Shot, and, of course, the Latin from Manhattan, comedian extraordinaire. Don't move. A little musical time. You know, I'm going to play something. As we talk about Buck O'Neill, and Buck O'Neill talked about that. He said, I was born right on time. He said, you know what? I didn't want to play in the white leagues. See, I played in the best leagues. I played against the best players. I stayed in the best hotels. I ate the best food. I saw the best performers. All I wanted them to do was have the courtesy to ask me. And let's not forget what it was like back in those days. As we go back, her birthday was last month. She had a tribute given to her. Wait a minute. No. Billie Holiday. Let me check Billie Holiday's birthday. We're playing. Billie Holiday, Strange Fruit. Let us not ever forget what it was like and how it so often still is. Sports in there, Block Talk Radio. Billie Holiday, Strange Fruit. Billie Holiday, who would have been 100 years
old
on the 7th of this month. The strange fruit that she's talking about is... Black people hanging from trees. Billie had never saw anything like that, traveling with the band in the South. And hanging from the trees, the blood, smell of the burning bodies. That was a strange fruit. Billie Holiday, 100 years old, on the 7th of this month. The first great combination, I think, jazz and blues singer. Bessie Smith was the first great female blues singer. Billie brought both combinations. Billie was harassed. Our society always has a way of doing that to our stars. Some drug issues came up. It's amazing how you never hear about the problems of the, as I said, the pleasure of connection. I mean, you look at the Rockefeller laws, and they were implemented to basically go against African Americans. I mean, you could, me, you, and Julio could get locked up for two joints on us where they could catch a white guy with 2 grams or half a kid cocaine and he could walk. I mean, there are people still in jail suffering some very severe sentences behind some straight up, and use the term, straight up bullshit. Bullshit and racism behind it. But something's changing on mainstream. But strange fruit, Billie Holiday, 100 years old on the 7th of this month. It was a song that after she came from the South and saw the constant hanging, lynching. Supposedly Indiana was the last place to stop those things and the Klan. Now, there's a story told about the great Earl of Pearl Monroe. And this is like his mother's name was Rose. That's what he is, a special flower. And Earl had considered jumping leagues, going to the ABA. And he was with the Indiana Pacers, they said. And they all went into the locker room. And he noticed a lot of guys taking out guns and putting it in the top of their lockers. And he said, well, what was going on here, man? I said, hey, man, you know, plans around here. Earl called his agent and said, hey, you know what? Work out something for the NBA. He gave up on the ABA. Earl the Pearl Monroe.
Monroe.
Monroe, baby. Sponsored at Blog Talk Radio and Trust and Government Network. The gentleman who, Sprite, who led the Masters from opening to end, won it today. It was good to see Tiger Woods, though. Tiger played well. He had 260-something rounds, had some bogeys today. He had some bogeys on the well, he was one over on the first day. But if this is a sign, if he's going to continue to elevate from here, Tiger will be back in the mix of things for a lot of things. Look at the sports in their board here with the sports posse. Boxing last night at the Barclay. The great Sugar Ray Leonard was there. Met his younger son, too. I think Andre, 14 years old. Danny Garcia against Lamont Peterson. A very fight. I was hoping to have some of the people here to join us. But Peterson didn't start doing things until late. And I think that really was the whole key. He came on late in the fight, gave away the early parts of the fight to Danny, and also said, I felt that in conclusion, that when the decision was made, because it was a non-title fight, but for all intents and purposes, they judged that fight as if Danny was the champion and Peterson was the challenger. Looking at the stats on that fight, let's go to that. Well, let's go to the fight, too, before that was very controversial. And it started off controversial as Kid Chocolate, Peter Quinlan, couldn't make the weight. I was just astonished by that
well,
he
right.
couldn't make
right.
the weight. I mean, you, what do you have your coaches for? What do you have your strength coach for? Nutrition coach? And he came
Doc,
in.
Doc, did
think
he get fined for that
so,
too? He got fined
he
for
might
that
have.
Also, didn't he?
He might have. And well, what happened is. The first thing happened is there was no longer a title fight.
Right.
So Andy Lee was in a great position. He couldn't lose. If he lost the fight, he was still the champ. If he won the fight, in fact, like he said he wanted to have a title fight back in Ireland, and this may be the tremendous chance. Peter Quinlan, Kechaga said last night, though, yeah, he wants rematch, but and somebody mentioned the Ireland part, and he said, well, where's the most money going to be made? But with the TV networks picking – the money up here, that could be a deal. I mean, and Lee could simply say, hey, you know, I want to fight in my own country. I mean, you fight for money and championships. You got the championship. It would be a dream come true. And sometimes, you know, money has its place, and sometimes money has no value. And to fight in his own country, in front of his own country and people, that could mean a whole lot more than the kind of money that could be offered. That fight was controversial. Lee won on one judge's scorecard, 113-112. The thing that was puzzling was that he got knocked down, and it was scored. Let me see if I can find that round. Okay, there was I'm looking on the card here. It should have been a 10-9 round, but it wasn't. Then the other judge had the fight scored by the same way, 113-112 for Quinlan. And then there was a judge that had it as a draw, 113-113. Now, it was said that it was one situation, and I'm looking at the scorecard here, where when Quinlan knocked down Lee, he got a 10-9 round instead of a 10-8 round. Had that happened, he would have won on the draw card. That had been a 114-112 victory. And, in fact, he would have won all the way across the board because he'd won by one. So he'd have had he'd have been a unanimous winner instead of it being a total draw across the board. Main event fight, Danny Garcia against Lamont Peterson. And there were some people, too, with some grumblings, thinking that they thought that that maybe Peterson had pulled it out. But for all intents and purposes, Peterson did start pulling through it. But let's look at the scores of that fight. A draw with one judge, 114-114, but the other two judges had Danny winning by just 2 points, 115-113 on both of those cards. So Danny got a victory, and Kid Chocolate came out unscathed in the sense of that he didn't lose, but he didn't win either. So he's still undefeated. So you don't add another win to his column, and you just question. And I saw many people, they thought he won the fight. Also, McCarthy Jr., my good buddy, my dear friend, came in, went back, introduced me to Ray's son, and shot me over to Ray. I was able to get those items all by the grace of God. Well, steps of rights and men of order. Sean Porter was there last night along with Adrian Broner. As he told Danny Garcia, was the headliner. Andy Lee had his title on the line against Kid Chocolate until Kid Chocolate couldn't make the weight, and that was it. Those were the big four names: Danny Garcia, Andy Lee, Kid Chocolate, Peter Quinlan, and Lamont Peterson. Klitschko against Brian Jennings. At Madison Square Garden on the 12th of this month. This weekend, this Matusse against Provorov, April 18th, this coming Saturday.
Lady A said that's going to be the fight of the year, that one.
Well, you know, she sounds like Rooney. Yeah, but she's going to be there. We're going to broadcast live from Stewart Stadium and Hofstra University as the Cosmo will have their opening game there. We're looking, Pelé and Franz Breckenbauer will be there. So we're looking to get a chance maybe to talk to either one or at least see them. And so we're going to have Lady A come in from the Matusse Bavarov fight.
Yeah, she's that's going to be the fight of the year.
We'll be
that's
out
she said.
There. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Tiger Woods, as you said. Hey, Doc, did you meet with AJ yesterday? Or was he busy with it? Because I know he was filming.
He gave me a call. He just called now. He's busy doing some filming. He can't join us because he's really busy and doing some production right now.
Okay.
And, I got that good. So, yeah, no, I did get nice a lot. The Rangers won the President's Trophy, which I got changed the spelling here, which means that they will have home ice all throughout the playoffs. And they also
best record in the league, too.
For both wins.
Best record in the league, too.
And
yeah, they're doing good.
The best record in history of the New York Rangers. And
I'm going to say just listening to Doc again, like always. I always talk highly of you, Doc. And when I met AJ, I told him, "Yo, You want to know about sports? Just call Doc on sports. I'm telling you, that's the man right there.
Julio, in fact, you're planning the Doc on sports. We're going to be doing a radio show too on another network, Doc on Sports. Mm-hmm. It's long been Julio's idea and brainchild. We were doing that for a while too. We had Doc on Sports, mm-hmm. and then we had some really great times. We'll be going with that again. I mean, you met Julio. Julio's one of the greatest comedians ever. So Latin from Manhattan, comedian extraordinaire. And we did a tour, the Stand Up Together tour, the old Sweetwaters, which is no longer in existence, one of the great clubs there. And I walked in there, and this guy had matching socks to match his bell on, who was pink. And the Latin from Manhattan, comedian extraordinaire. And I remember that we had another great comedian, Steve Solis.
Steve's the thin man.
Steve's about 300 pounds. Steve used to say two things. He said, my name is Steve Solis. He says, my mother's white, my father's black, so I must be Puerto Rican. And then he had the other great line. He said, one thing about age, guys are thin and stuff. He said, ladies, you look at me. You can see how big I am. You know I ain't got AIDS, so I'm safe from that perspective. Angelo Lozado, some more names.
What was it he called? He says, I got anti-AIDS. I get real fat to the time.
What's in that Rock Talk Radio on the Trust and Garden Network? The Rose is back. Okay, so what's the story with Chicago? How does he look, Hoopster and Jumpster? I want to start with you, Jumpster. How does Rose look? They lost their first game back. Gentlemen, he's suspect. Yeah, I mean, and you keep wondering, is he coming back too soon, Jump Shot? Is he damaged good? How do he look to you in his first couple of games back?
He's coming along. There's a little rust there, but, he's coming his game through, and he'll be ready. They're going into the real season now, which is the playoffs, and, they're going to be a fourth, I think. Deep into the playoffs, at least deep into the Eastern Conference. So, I wouldn't worry about it too much right now. Just kind of getting in shape for the rounds that are coming up. And it really depends on their seeding and who their first-round opponent is going to be. So, the Bulls will be fine, for the most part.
Jump shot?
Yeah. Did you hear me?
Jump shot. You can curl with your backcourt partner there.
Where Rose? He still got some rust, but he got a way to go. So we'll see. You never know with him. He's like man of glass. He shatters. You know what I mean? So we'll see.
Jump shot and the Hoopster from top of the key out of the gym. Jump shot and Hoopster always put the ball right through the rim. We're going to probably close in a few minutes. I want to get some latest updates for you. As we told you, Sprite has won the Masters. Rangers have won the President's Cup. Jason Kidd has got his team first year. And both of you gentlemen, the basketball, that says a lot. And he wanted more responsibility, more control.
Yeah.
And I said it about the Nets. I really walked away from the Nets when they got rid of Dr. J and I did some things. But it seemed really something unique that they gave Kidd this opportunity to coach. And then he was gone after 1 year. I mean, 1 year there and sayonara. He was gone. But he got the Bucks. He's got a good
40 wins, 40 losses.
Huh?
40 wins and 40 losses.
Yep.
And also, I picked him as my coach of the year. So that's one of my picks. Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to respectfully go in another direction, Hoopster. And I'm going to go with Monty Williams as my selection for coach of the year.
Wow.
Williams is doing the job he's done with the Pelicans, the division with San Antonio. They got to play them four times, Houston four times, Dallas four times, and
well, The Bucks never been contenders since the old days, since Lou Alcindor and Oscar Robertson. So, hey, you got a good pick. But I got to go with Kidd. The Bucks never been nothing until Kidd got there. He turned that team around, so you got to give him credit. The Pelicans are good, too, now.
The Bucks were a good team at one time, but I still got Kidd as my coach of the year.
I mean,
that's good, but, I mean, when the Bucks drafted Alcindor, who became Jabbar, they got Oscar, they won a championship, and they were the first team in NBA history to win 60 games. It was 2 or 3 years in a row. But
you know, the last time the Bucks ever made the playoffs, since they had Bob Lanier, Junior Bridgman, Brian Withers, Dave Myers, that was the last time the Bucks ever been contenders. That was a long time ago.
They used to be a very good team. They used to be a team that they win that division, and they get in the first round of playoffs, and they would maybe make it past the first round, or maybe not. But that's true. Sports is at Blog Talk Radio.
Right.
Well, Discovery Network.
What's the Pelicans record, Jumzy?
It's 33-36.
Okay. Well, the Milwaukee's 40 wins and 40 losses, so.
Jason Kidd with the Nets is finished with a record of 44-38, I believe it was. 44-38. They got the 6th seed last year. This year with the Bucks, he's 40-40 in the 6th seed. Yes, they're better than they were, but he's still 500. So, you know, still mediocrity. So.
Yeah. Mm. All right, you heard it first. Jonesy picked some Pelicans coach. I picked Kidd, so, okay. We're going to see that, Jonesy, okay? I'm going to see you on that, Jonesy.
Well, I tell you what, gentlemen, the reality of the situation is neither one of those guys are going to get it. If they're going to give it to the coach of Houston or they're going to give it to the coach of Golden State. And Kerr is a situation
could be.
That...
It's like last year when I picked Toronto's coach. They gave it to Popovich.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yes, yeah. The Toronto's coach, he's done it still.
The Toronto coach should have got it. Casey should have got it.
Well, I tell you, he's done another
bit.
Great job.
What is
he doing?
He's
talking about.
He's on the record, 48 wins. Yes. They're doing good. Toronto's doing good, too, now.
Absolutely.
Well, no, I mean, the fact that Golden State team, for all intents and purposes, is Mark Jackson's team. Nobody has said one word about the foundation and.
Thank you.
And what Mark has done to create one of the, right now, top teams in the NBA. You know, you hear nothing like that. Like Mark Jackson never even existed. Sports is at Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
On the Trust and Guard Network. And... That is good. My Chris Brody used to be the head trumpeter for... Paul Simon. Marvin Gaye has this to say before we all leave and go about our way. Mr. Gaye, please.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
Fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow. What a shame.
Such a bad way to live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life. But let's live, everybody.
Live life. For the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live, but who really cares?
Hey, we care. And we're getting ready to run. But before we go, that's the whole thing to let you know. Catch one today, 43, by Solo Cologne, the kid, 7-8 of tremendous pitching. Well, outstanding pitching. He's 2-0. And they let you beat the Braves, Yankees, and Boston are scoreless right now. And the first inning. Jordan Sprite, 270, 18 under par to win.
Running used to be the way
Masters.
I passed my time.
We told you that the Rangers won the President's Cup.
Along
they will have home ice throughout
the
entire playoff. Cologne, wow. You know, they talked about everybody on that staff. And
every now and then I find some company.
You also,
but
you know, Julio, I heard it's the first time he's over there. Finally stolen the RBI after
I try to tell myself
18 years. I think he didn't drive a run after chapter 10 years, so he helped his own cause. Sacrifice fly was the difference. He opened the go-ahead run. Mets 4-3 winners over the Braves today. Yankees are playing as time. We are here on the air.
Hey,
George Sprite, 270.
Hey, Doc.
Yo.
I have a question for you.
Yeah,
Alex Rodriguez, has he ever failed a drug test?
You know what? I don't believe he ever did, like Barry Bonds.
He never failed a drug test.
Well, and it was Bill Roden who said all the things that A-Rod was accused of were all legal at the time of the accusations. You know, A-Rod Rodriguez is still the only infielder in major history to do 40-40. And when he was at his apex, Alex Rodriguez was a Willie Mays shortstop. Nobody had to combine the ability for average power than he had. I mean, you talk about, I mean, the best all-around shortstop, he was the Willie Mays shortstop. And the rest of his history, the home run of the day. Gentlemen, we're about ready to close it out.
Hey, watch
and
you go. Here's a quick note. Jason Kidd, the first coach in NBA history to take, in his first 2 years as a head coach, to take two different franchises to the playoffs.
Wow.
Jason Kidd.
You know what? I'm just about to, I remember Jason Kidd. And Grant Hill sitting down at the right next to me at the press table in their rookie years because they both were co-winners of the Rookie of the Year. And I remember at the 1997 All-Star game having a picture of me and Jason. And I asked him could I have his sneakers from that game. And he gave them to me. So we have Buck Williams, all-time leading scorer in that history. Jason Kidd, first coach to lead two different teams in the playoffs. Mr. Triple-Double. And I thought his first year in New York, he got robbed of the MVP. I understand how you gave it to Tim Duncan over Jason Kidd, who took a team from last place to first place and took them to the NBA Finals. Took them to the NBA Finals. So they say only in America. Gentlemen, don't anybody move. Larry Hardesty, he has this to say before we go on our way. Gentlemen, we'll be back here. We'll be back here during the week. We're going to do a boxing way with Lady A. Big fight comes this weekend. One more time, let's take a look at what's happening here in the world of sports. Last night, we told you in the Barclays Center, Danny Garcia, victorious over Lamont Peterson. Kid Chocolate, been out for a while, didn't lose it, didn't win it. Got a draw against Andy Peterson, who remains for the WBO middleweight champion at the same time, too. But then you know that this weekend, it's the fight that could be the fight of the year. But Vladimirov, I may be saying that wrong, against Matuse, that's this weekend. Brian Jennings will get his shot against the champ, Klitschko. That will be at Madison Square Garden on the 25th. Cosmo opened the season this Saturday. The great one will be there. Greatest football player of all time. You know, interesting, ladies and gentlemen, the number one sport in the world is football. Not NFL football, what Americans call soccer. The number two sport in the world, man, you can't believe it. It's cricket. Had a good time with the train last night. Talked to a couple of gentlemen. Hope they were listening in. My buddy Josh, came in with another two gentlemen's name. And one, Aaron, he talked about Aaron Pryor's son. Aaron Pryor's son got knocked out last night. So another guy that's not as good as his dad. No question about that.
Doc, your MVP Saturday, Russell Westbrook has 50 points, career high, tonight.
Yeah, 50 points. Now, who are they playing?
They're playing Indiana Pacers, and they're battling. Indiana's battling for that eighth spot also.
Evidently, Westbrook is showing no sympathy toward him. And this is something about him. He's a guy, you know where the offense has to come from. I just think, and thanks so much, Jump Shot, that he is the MVP. I mean, where would his team be without him? Where would his team? That's what they say about Barry Bonds. Where would the Giants have been without Barry Bonds? That great line that Skip Bayless said, you know, he's a guy in an era where pitchers dominated. He dominated the pitchers. I'll never forget what Marcus Grissom told me. He said, Mad Dog, Greg Maddux, most wins by a right-handed pitcher living today in the game of baseball, said, hey, two guys he couldn't get out, Tony Gwynn and Barry Bonds. Did you tell Marquise to just get over there in left center field and throw him this fastball outside him, hit it to the warning track, we'll be rid of him. Barry Lamar Bonds, Bobby Bonds' son, Willie Mays' godson. Understand this. As great as Barry was, and Barry was great, 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 he's still a distant second to the incomparable, the legendary Willie Mays. Doc Stanley, Sports in the Blog Talk. Ready? Leave you with three thoughts. Live your life today. Well, I was going to say that. You know what? I ain't going to say that one. Dr. King, life's most persistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Muhammad Ali, that was Dr. King's quote. Ali says, service to others is what you pay for your space here on Earth. Nelson Mandela, I am my brother's keeper, and my brother comes in all colors. Sports and Death, Block Talk Radio with Wilson Garvey Network. The Hoopster was here. Jump Shot Jones, you're here. Julio, comedian extraordinaire. He'll be with us again next week. He'll be a regular. Let us know what's happening in the comedy scene. And with that, Larry Hardesty, greatest African sportscaster in the history of New York City radio, is going to tell us good night. Larry, you can come on. You can talk to him if you want to. I'm through.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding. But I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best.
Larry, hold on, Larry. Last night, I found out something. The closed circuit, okay, pay-per-view, Pacquiao, Mayweather will be shown only in MGM hotels in Vegas. You ready for that? Only MGM hotels will be showing the Pacquiao Mayweather fight. So for all intents and purposes, it's blacked out if you don't do MGM. Inside sources said, I thought it was a good little tip. It's $100, I believe, to get the fight in high definition. But my inside track says, in Vegas, you can only see Pacquiao Mayweather at an MGM-owned hotel. Larry, I'm through this time. Come on. You can go.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding. But I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. as he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
And in tribute to Harold Jackson, we will close with the classic from back in the day, reminders of the Sunday morning class. Sports In Depth, Wild Talk Radio, and the Sunday Network. Catch you during the week, and catch you next Sunday, Sports Rap. And the doctor says, God bless you all. Well, we always put the rumors. That's all the issues. The flowers gone long ago. But we do. Where have all the flowers gone? I should know my own thing. We're here. But we always put the rumors. Our magistrates. And brand new children. Okay, I'm gone.
I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.